the scripture from Ezekiel and from Psalms, and we're going to concentrate today, the first part of the sermon, or the main part of the sermon is going to be looking at this scripture from Ezekiel, and in order to be able to understand more clearly what God has said to us in the scripture part, the part of the verses or the chapter that was read today from Ezekiel 17, what we want to do is look at the entire chapter, because the ability to understand what was written and appreciate what was written at the end of the chapter comes by knowing the beginning of the chapter and the middle of the chapter. And so Ezekiel was a prophet. He lived in the last days of the kingdom of Judah before it fell, right? It fell because of the sin of all the people, and the kings were very wicked and they didn't listen to God. And so Ezekiel was one of the men who was called to by God to go and to minister to the people and to warn them that they needed to change their ways. What we want to do is really concentrate on what he was given by God in chapter 17 of Ezekiel. So if you want to turn to Ezekiel, it is really good for you to do so, because it's a very rich scripture and it has a lot of symbolism in it. And it's good for us to be able to look at that along with me as I do that. But I'd like to read to you just the first part of this chapter to give you an idea of what was happening and how the message developed into what we heard in Ezekiel in the scripture reading today. First of all, Ezekiel was given a riddle and a parable. It says, God said, "Son of man, propound a riddle." It means develop this riddle and speak a parable to the house of Israel. And so that's what he does. And in this parable, this is what is written and what Ezekiel was to proclaim. A great eagle, okay, we got a great eagle with great wings and long pinions, rich in plumage of many colors, came to Lebanon and took the top of the cedar. He broke off the topmost of its young twigs and carried it to a land of trade and set it in a city of merchants. And then he took the seed of the land and planted it in fertile soil. He placed it beside abundant waters. He set it like a willow twig, and it sprouted and became a low-spreading vine. Its branches turned toward him, and its roots remained where it stood. So it became a vine and produced branches and put out boughs. Next part. There was another great eagle, eagle number two, with great wings and much plumage. And behold, the vine bent its roots toward him and shot forth the branches toward him from the bed where it was planted, that he might water it. It had been planted on good soil by abundant waters, that it might produce branches and bear fruit and become a noble vine. Okay, so we have two eagles. We have a cedar tree, right? And there's the twigs at the top of it. And then we have a vine that grows as well. And so what does this all mean? Well, God gives the meaning to Ezekiel and he explains it. And I'm not going to read all of that in the Bible. What I'm going to do is explain to you the best that I can the meaning of these different parts and the symbols that were used here. So we'll take it first with the coming of a great eagle, right? The first one with great wings and long pinions, rich in plumage of many colors, came to Lebanon and took the top of the cedar. This is Babylon. It's the Babylonian king, this eagle, this great one with great wings and long pinions, very powerful nation of Babylon. They came to Lebanon, and Lebanon is a metaphor for Jerusalem. Its association with cedar is also important here to make it a metaphor for Jerusalem, because there were structures that were built in Jerusalem from cedar. You remember that Solomon went and took the great cedar from Lebanon and brought it to Jerusalem. And so this is a metaphor for Jerusalem itself. Took the top of the cedar, this would be the King Jehoiakim, okay? He broke off the topmost of its young twigs and carried it to a land of trade and set it in a city of merchants. The king of Babylon took King Jehoiakim, a evil king who was a king under God, right? He was God's king, but he was an evil king and did what was evil in God's sight. He took him and all of his princes, those are the other twigs, and he brought them to this city, this mercantile city, and that was Babylon. Okay, so he took them away from Jerusalem there. Then the next part, he took the seed of the land and planted it in fertile soil. And this is the relative of King Jehoiakim, King Zedekiah. And Zedekiah was then put there, and he was planted there by this king, Nebuchadnezzar. And he made an agreement with him. It was a covenant with Zedekiah that he was to be the vassal of Nebuchadnezzar, and he was to serve Babylon and remain true to Babylon, right? He was to remain true. He planted him, and he was going to grow there. He was made low by King Nebuchadnezzar, but he would be supplied with all of his needs during this time. Okay, he became a vine, right? Through the planting that Nebuchadnezzar did of Zedekiah, he became this vine that was mentioned there. Okay, so far so good. So now we go on to the next part that talks about the second eagle. Another eagle is introduced, a great eagle with great wings and much plumage. You'll notice that there wasn't as much said about this one, right? It didn't say it had colorful feathers and things like that. So this one was a little less glorious than the first eagle. And this, we believe, is Egypt. This is Egypt. And what happened is that Zedekiah, this vine, reached out and started to grow in the direction of Egypt. And in history, what happened is that Zedekiah broke the covenant, rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, and broke the covenant with him, and through his people, his leaders, and spies, they went to Egypt to form a coup against Babylon so that Egypt would be used to fight against Babylon, and Zedekiah hoped that they would cancel themselves out. Okay, so that's what the vine is growing towards them, and he began to be watered by Egypt, the Pharaoh there, instead of by the king in Babylon in Jerusalem. Right. And so his allegiance was shifted. He rebelled and did those kind of things. And so this story here and this parable and riddle is filled with meaning, because what God is saying is that this is an analogy for my people, Israel. This is exactly what they're doing. Zedekiah broke this covenant that would assure him of fruitfulness in life and growing. He would have been low, but he would be provided for. And he even took an oath. It said that he took an oath on God's name that he would remain true to Nebuchadnezzar. But he broke that. He rebelled against him, came up with another plan to use the power of the world to free the people that were living there, himself and his kingdom up in Jerusalem. And so what God says later in this chapter, and you can take a look at it more in depth, God says, you are represented by this parable here. You have broken a covenant with me. I have planted you a cedar in the city of Jerusalem. My people live there and they're growing there, and I'm providing with all your needs. And you made a covenant with me and the people of Israel. You remember in your reading of the Old Testament that the people said, we will do what God says. Well, they didn't do what God says. They went their own ways. Last time we had a sermon, we were talking about the time of Samuel and how the people came to Samuel and they said, we don't want you anymore. Well, you don't want me anymore. God said, they don't want you anymore. They don't want me anymore. They want to go after these other kings from these other nations. They want to go into the world and find their identity in this world and break away from me. So you see the contrast, you see the connection there that is made for this Bible reading today. And so God was saying, because of the fact that you are doing this, that you have rebelled against me and you have turned against me. And this is really what happened with King Zedekiah, this king that was put there and that God could use if he would turn to him, turn to Egypt instead and said, I want to follow this way. I want to follow my own plan and make my own strategy to develop our nation again and gain the power that we had. And he forgot one thing, that it was God who had given him this kingship in the first place. And so God said, well, you're going to suffer for that. And that's exactly what happened. We read in the Bible, in the book of Jeremiah, in 2 Chronicles, in 2 Kings, the downfall of Judah under Zedekiah. Nebuchadnezzar, when he found out what had happened and that Zedekiah had gone to the Pharaoh in Egypt and said that he wanted to develop this coup against him, and he was going to raise them up and try to defeat the king of Babylon, he came with his army and he grabbed Zedekiah. And you can read this. He took his sons and put them in front of Zedekiah and killed them in front of his father, their father. And then after that, they took out his eyes and they led him away blind in chains into exile. And that is what happened because the covenant was broken. And so God allowed this to happen to his people. Not only did that happen, but much worse things happened because of the sins of the king there and his rebelliousness and his breaking of the covenant with Almighty God and his evil ways. God allowed for the Babylonians to come in and they crushed Jerusalem. They burned the temple, this temple of God, to the ground, signifying that God was no longer present there with the people there. Right? It was a very, very sad time. It's a very important part of history, but it's tragic because of the things that it represents there. So we can see in this parable, in this riddle, that God is teaching them, because of your evil ways, because you have broken a covenant with me, right, and you have broken the oath to serve me and serve me only, destruction is coming upon you. Well, we're thankful today, and as we always are, that God comes through and brings hope into these desolate situations where man has brought himself into destruction, gone away from God. And so the scripture for today, we read with such joy and such excitement to see what God is setting up here in his word through this other parable. It says in verse 22, "Thus says the Lord, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the top post of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain." Right? So God himself, not a Pharaoh, not the king Nebuchadnezzar, who was going to come and take a sprig off from the cedar that was really belonging to David's line in Jerusalem, right? But God himself is going to come, not as a destructive being, not who comes and takes over and forces their way in and causes destruction like the kings at that time of these other nations. But God of life, the God of Israel, said, "I myself now am going to come and I'm going to take that sprig from the top cedar and I will set it out and I will break off from the top post of its young twigs a tender one." Well, everyone, when we're talking about these things, and we know from our Bibles that God is talking about the plan that he had for his Messiah. And from the same cedar, this twigs at the top of the very same one, God himself, not Pharaoh, not King Nebuchadnezzar, but God himself was taking the initiative and brought hope into the lives of his people by bringing the Messiah, Jesus Christ, into the world. And that is where we see it beginning here. All through Isaiah and other prophets, we see the beginnings of God's plan to bring redemption into his people's lives. He's a wonderful God. And what kind of a God is he? He says, "On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it." Right? I will plant it on the mountain, Mount Zion, right? Which is also an association with heaven and God's kingdom. Mount Zion is the place that he will plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. You see the difference between the two examples here? The one that was told of the people that sought their own way and thought that they could become noble in their own way, in their own right. They're not able to do it because they're evil. They were sinful. They couldn't bring it about. They couldn't bring it about because they didn't seek God. They didn't keep the covenant that they had promised to keep with him, an oath with him. And that is so important for us to learn from. Just we go on and finish this one section, and then I'll make some more comments about what we see here. "Under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of the branches, birds of every sort will nest." So you see the birds, these great eagles that represent other nations and people that are against God, are now represented in these birds that are coming and that are going to be the people of God that populate the tree that he represents in his kingdom. It's an inviting vision. It's such a beautiful slide that was prepared for us by Pat today in our slideshow for the PowerPoint today, right? It's such a beautiful thing to see what happens when God is involved in bringing himself into the lives of his people through his son, Jesus Christ. And that is what we can have. It's free for the taking. God gives it as a gift to us. We can grow in this way and we can populate this kingdom of God that is so fruitful and bountiful and flourishing. "And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. All the kings of the earth will know that he is the Lord." All right? All these other trees and everything else, Those are representing the kings and the leaders of the world. But they will know that he alone is the Lord. He brings low the high tree, and he makes high the low tree. He dries up the green tree and makes the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken. I will do it. And he did it. Amen? He did it. It said, I will do it. He did it. And Christ Jesus came into the world representing that to us. And so what can we learn from this? There's so much rich lessons for us in this whole chapter here. And all through the Bible that is reiterated that our lives, when they're connected to God, flourish. Right? When we try to go in our other ways, what I was saying to the children today, when we go in the direction and we get swayed away from our faith into the world and the things that are not of eternity, right, that are not of God, then we get into big trouble. And so we need to be faithful people that are true to our God. The kings at that time, like Zedekiah, I can't remember how to say his name, Jehoiakim, they were known for their evil. They got so wrapped up into the other nations and all of the things that they did, they began to sacrifice their own children. Can you imagine? These are representatives of the holy God of Israel. And they were so seeped into this whole philosophy of the worlds around them and so caught up in the political world. Man, does it sound familiar? It should. We're living in a world that is seeped in all these other ways, all these other destructive ways, and we just get sucked into it because it looks like it's this big bird with beautiful feathers and colorful, you know, it's a powerful eagle, and we are attracted to that kind of thing. Wow, look at all of the things in Babylon. Look at all the things that they're offering there. We live in New York, right? We live near New York. Oh, look at all the high buildings. Look at all the beautiful structures. Look at the architecture. Look at all the things that you can do there. Everything goes. People come from around the world, from every state in the United States because they feel like, oh, I can do what I want there. I can be myself. That's Babylon. That's Egypt at these times. Worship the Pharaoh. He's the God that we worship. He's a human God. How far we have fallen, right? How far we have fallen, but we do the same things in our lives in a lesser degree, but it's very easy for us to get swayed by those things. And I really mean what I was saying to the kids today. You know, it's so easy when you're young to start to be swayed into these things. It's so important that we as parents guide our children and show them by example that God is true. We trust in him. He's not just a God that we are like taking the name of only. These kings were kings by name only. By position only, but they had no God inside them. The one that they worshiped was from this world, right? And so we don't want to be like that. There isn't any worth to those kind of things. God has a purpose for us. He has a purpose to use us for his kingdom, to go out and to show people that he is the way, right? He's the only way, like we were singing today. We don't want any other way because he's the only way to the Father in heaven. He's the only way that we can become a living branch instead of a dried up one. But the humbleness that we see there in this word here for the tree, right, that is dried up, that is actually the one that God raises up because we've humbled ourselves, right? We've humbled ourselves before him. We need to ask ourselves each day, are we humbling ourselves before God? Am I humbling myself before God, who is my Savior each day in the way that I'm living and the things that I'm looking at on TV or in social media or whatever it is that we do? You know, we can't forget him. We need to come before him. And you know what happens? He raises you up. He raises you up. And what kind of a king do we have in Jesus Christ? We have a king who comes into the world ready to teach everyone that there's only one way to heaven and that he is the way and the truth and the life. And then he doesn't just do it. He doesn't just say it. He doesn't just say, I am the Son of Man. He goes to the cross. He takes that road that many of us or all of us would never take and says, lay my body on that cross. Stretch out my arms for the love of the Father is for the world. And that is my purpose here. And that is our king. He's a king who's faithful. to his Father and the will of the Father in heaven. And that is why we as people of God need to be faithful, right? And faithfulness that blooms into flourishing is that kind of a faith. It's the kind of faith when we are tempted to do wrong, we say, no, I'm not going to do that because I believe that God is real. And he's better than all those other things that are worthless and that I usually feel totally guilty about after I've done them. Why do I want to fall into that kind of stuff anymore? I'm through with that life. I belong to the King Jesus. And King Jesus is the one who gave his life for me. Can't I do that same thing for him? Right? Look at all the things that we do that are wasting our time, right? There's a song that we're going to be singing after the sermon today that talks about that. Take my eyes away from worthless things. Set them on the King. Look at the beauty of the things that God is giving here and look back at all the things and all the complicated things that happened for the King because of his evil ways and going after the Egyptian. His sons were killed in front of him. It's time to wake up. We don't want to hear that kind of thing. Oh, that's so disturbing. Well, it's the reality, man. It's a reality that comes from sin. And there's going to come a day like that. And Ezekiel was told by God, you are my man and you are going to go and tell my people this. And let me tell you this, when you go to them, they are not going to want to hear it. But the thing is this, if they don't hear it, I'm holding you responsible for it. I'm giving you the word of God and I have put it in your mouth and it's like honey to your lips, but that's not enough. You have to go there and tell them. And if they don't follow me after they've heard the word, they're going to pay the price, but you are going to be raised up. Your soul is going to be saved. You can read it in the chapters leading up to this. We have a responsibility and we need to wake up to that responsibility. It's not a time that we're living in now where we can just say, okay, things are a little bit better now so we can coast. Christians don't coast. Christians have flourishing faith. They're marked by people that are super involved in the lives of the people around them for the sake of the kingdom, and they grow and they flourish. And there are people coming to Christ, and that's exactly why we're doing what we're doing here today, so that we can be encouraged by God to see that he is the better way. Some people could look at this story and say this, look, those people were evil, but God came and saved the day. He brought his Savior, and I can just rely on that. I can take advantage of the grace of Jesus Christ. I still have time. You think I'm kidding? I worked with people in AT&T who I spoke to and they told me that. I'll do that later in life. I have time. I have a lot to do right now. I have a lot of things that I want to take care of. I have a family to raise. I have work that I really enjoy doing. I want to do all those things. I have time. You don't have time. Right? Doesn't this time that we're living in teach us that, if not anything else, that we don't have time? And we don't know when the day is going to come that our life will end. It's not just connected with COVID. It's any time. So never mind the pandemic. It's really a fact of life. And it's according to the Bible that we need to keep our eyes open and our ears open so that we are tight with God and that we have a faith that is going to be flourishing. That's the kind of faith that we want. And that's also the reason that we're doing what we're doing in Jesus in the Park. And so we're forming a team for prayer. Right? Prayer warriors, so that we're not going to just rely on our own strength, but we are going to rely on God's strength. Amen? And that's what we do all the time. If we're teaching a Sunday school class or we're preparing something for a fellowship or we're doing anything in our own life, in our secular life, we do it first with God. We begin with him and say, you are the one who have given me this life. Just like you took that sprig and that twig that is that tender root, which is Jesus Christ, you gave me my life. So that I can bear fruit for you. What an honor that is. And there's a harvest of people out there waiting to hear about it. We need to do that. Amen. That is what we see here. We don't look at this and say, oh, I have time. I can take advantage of the grace of God. We say, look at how faithful and how grace filled God is and how merciful. Praise him. Let's bow before him and give our lives completely to him and never look back. That's the attitude of a faithful person of Christ, one who trusts in God, doesn't take advantage of grace, but praises him for it and gives his life completely into the kingdom. And that is what we want at Grace Church, right? That is what we want to be. We want to be like a tree, like that is planted. And Jesus said that in the book of Mark, right? It's also in our lectionary for this week. It says in Mark chapter 4, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe and at once, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than the garden plants and puts out large branches. Sound familiar? And so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. That's the kingdom of God. We'll never look at birds the same, in the same way. Amen? It's very easy to get caught up in eagles and the power of them and the beauty of their wingspan and what they can do that way. We as Christians turn to a God who is not just a God by name only and by the outer look of what he is. He is the God of creation. He's the God who gives his own son to us to die on a cross so that we live and we dedicate ourselves to him. And then we soar like eagles. And it becomes that kind of a change in the scripture that we have. The things of mankind lose their meaning and God comes in and he brings himself into our world. And that's what it's all about. And that's what he's doing here in Grace Church. And he's going to continue doing it. And we're going to praise him like we did today. And we're going to look around and we're going to say, wow, isn't God great? Look at what he's done. Look at what we're doing here, man. Look at all the things that God has prepared for us, our sinful people. He's looking for that faith. Let's learn from this reading today and this powerful message from Ezekiel what it means to be a faithful and flourishing believer in Jesus Christ.